bless you, Lord. We bless your name, oh God. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Who thinks God's good? Give me a wave. Great. Take your seats for a minute. That'll be helpful. If you're visiting today, big thumbs up to you that are coming today for the first time. It's great to have you with us today. Normally, when we have a baptismal service, we pack out the place, or we'll be packed out, but we're having to social distance. So I'm sorry, everybody that's couldn't get in today, those people that wanted to come and couldn't come, but we pray that you will soon be able to join us, and we'll be able to pack this place out once again. So if you're visiting, great. If you're wondering what's going on today, we're going to give some people some swimming lessons, and no, we're not. We'll explain a little bit more. So first of all, what I'd like to do is invite Sian, and Sian's going to come and share his testimony. What we do here is we ask all the time that people that are going to be baptised share why they feel they should be baptised. And so everybody has their own personal testimony, their own personal reason why they want to be baptised. And so Sian's going to do that now. Thank you, Sian.
Hello, everyone. Is this on? Yeah. Okay. Testimony by Sian Parks. Thank you, God, for always being there for me, even when I didn't realise you were. From a small child, I remember praying to you, but not understanding fully about your love, kindness, forgiveness, righteousness, and peace. Now on looking back, I see you and many times you were calling me, and instead of having faith and truly believing, I did it my own way, the destructive way. As you know, being an all-knowing God, being spiritual wasn't enough. I needed to find Jesus and understand his sacrifice for me. You are holy, righteous, worthy, forgiving, loving, and full of grace. I truly thank you as an unworthy servant for knowing my name and to keep holding my hand. Even when I was pulling it away, I'm lost without you. I remember praying in the morning for the first time, and you blessed me and my life changed. Thank you, God. I tried so many times to find you through different churches and spiritual events, but I still felt nothing. The day you introduced me to the Oasis was truly life-changing for myself and my family. Even though through the darkest times these last few months, you being with me always made my life worth living and possible. Mark 12:30. You shall love your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. I started with this verse from the Bible, and every day it gets stronger. I truly do believe you are my first love. I worship you, Abba, Father. You have only ever given me problems in life you know that will make me stronger, and I believe now to help others that too have been through these similar experiences. I know my Christian journey has just begun, but it also how far I have come in such a little time. I was a slave to sin. Your love is stronger. I ask you to fill me of your Holy Spirit and be a true disciple of Jesus and spread your holy word and help other lost, broken people to find you through Jesus Christ. May we all be ready for the day Jesus will return for his people and take us to paradise, heaven on earth. Luke 12:35. Be ready for the Lord's coming. This is why I ask to be baptized in Jesus Christ's name, so I'm prepared for your return, Lord. I want to be reborn in your name, Jesus Christ, my Saviour, my Messiah, King of the Promised Land. I am your servant, Lord. Use me with the gifts you have blessed me with to save more brothers and sisters until the day we fall asleep till you rise us again.
Thank you. Sian. Can I just say what a blessing you are to us? It's a blessing. What amazing blessings. And Sian works in a shop in Woodrow. If you go to our shop, you'll see this young lady who will serve you. And it's great to have a family as well. Big thumbs up to the family. Great to see you. Even Richard came prepared today. He's got his Batman mask on, so it's Batman and Robin. Yeah, so that's good. So can we just say to your family, we really love you. You're very precious and we are so, so pleased you're part of our family. Thank you so much. Okay. Okay, young man, you're going to come up next. This is Jonathan. Jonathan came through us, came to our Alpha course and came through our Alpha course. Our Alpha course is a course that we run basically that if you want to find out about Christianity, if you want to know more about Jesus Christ, we run this amazing course and loads of people have come to find Jesus and come to know him and understand who he is. And Jonathan is one of those young men that came back to this church. Thank you, Jonathan. Do you want to share your testimony with us?
I'm ready to share my testimony now. This is a bit unusual, nothing like Shard at all. When I was a youngster, I was baptised in a C of E church before I was one and was confirmed when I was about 13 years old. This was the wish of my mother, who was very much involved with the church at that time. I then decided the church wasn't for me, so I basically left the church and went along with life as normal. I have had a few rough patches in my life where things weren't going to plan, but I stayed away from God, which I regretted. When my mother passed away in 2019, that left an empty hole in my life. And I had been going general duties like shopping, household chores and other duties as required for her. Then I realised I was slowly getting depressed because I had put all my energy into caring for my mum and my life was going nowhere. Then a friend told me about Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, and I decided to attend a service, and the church I chose was at Oasis Christian Centre, and first went in February 2020, just before the COVID outbreak. I attended a couple of times and thoroughly enjoyed the services. I thought I would go and support Jesus the Holy Spirit again. I understood, but I was very confused at the beginning, but now it's easier to understand. I did the Alpha course, which I thoroughly enjoyed, and started to meet people on Zoom. And when we briefly returned to church, I was recognised by the other fellow worshippers, which made it a lot easier and felt part of the church family. I have since joined a life group, which has helped me settle into the process easier and got to know other members of the church. I have decided to be baptised in the name of Jesus Christ and follow him and give my time and energy into the church and to be blessed by him. Follow him by reading and studying the Bible. Once the COVID outbreak has sorted itself out, I'm looking forward to meeting new people, enjoying the activities and the life the church gives me. I always say I pray in a difficult situation when it needs to be. This is helping me to get over the grieving process from losing my mum to make it easier for me to relax and enjoy life again. Personally, my mum would be proud of me joining her church and trying to carry on the life as normal as it can be and enjoying life, church life and putting my trust in God.
Thank you, Jonathan. Can we just that's good. We're so pleased that you've journeyed. Life's a journey. And we're all learning. I'm still learning. I've been Christian since Noah, time of Noah. And I'm still learning. And it's short, small steps are good steps. But what you're doing today is a really big step. So we're really proud of you. And we're looking forward to dunking you in a bit. Great. Thank you. That's great. Right. Thank you. So we're going to have another time of worship. And then we're going to... Pastor Rachel's going to lead us in some prayers for the people that need some prayer. She'll explain that a little bit more. But we really believe that God hears from heaven and God answers in this church. And so if we want to pray later on, we'll ask you to join us and to pray for those people that need a touch from God. But right now we're going to sing another song and worship God together. Thank you. Breathe, we live for you. So on Tuesday, I connected with a lady from Bromsgrove. Her name is Fran. She might be listening now. And Fran has a husband who has had some major problems in his leg, foot. And I said to her, go and get some oil out the kitchen and go and pray that God will heal him. So the next day I get a text message, said, guess what? He's pain free. Now, amazing. You see, God does answer prayer. And if you're sick today, you're visiting today, and you're sure, does God answer the prayer? I can tell you he does. I could share my testimony today. I haven't got the time to do that. But when I was deaf, God healed me of that. And it doesn't matter how poorly people are, Jesus has the power to make you well. So today we are baptizing Jonathan and Sean. And we're so excited that that's happening. And the children are thinking, what's going on, aren't you? And they're saying, could we pay you to keep Mum under the water? Just 5 minutes? No, you weren't thinking that. No, no, that was just Richard. Anyway, but why are they getting baptized? Why do people get baptized? Well, both Sean and Jonathan want to do something special today. Once in a lifetime opportunity to do something special. They want to acknowledge that Jesus has changed their life. That beforehand they lived a life which was probably very selfish. They may have helped other people, but it's all about me ministry. But when they encountered Jesus, something changed. When they encountered Jesus, something happened within them because they found the answer that they were looking for in life. They were searching for something to be different. There was an emptiness inside, but when they found Jesus, they realized that Jesus was the answer to what they needed. They asked Jesus to come into their life. They invited Jesus to be part of their life. And from that point forward, they started to live a new life. And if you're listening today, you might be wondering, I need something new. I'm not happy with the way things are at the moment. I've tried loads of different things, but you know, they just haven't worked. Well, you haven't tried Jesus yet. And if you try Jesus, I can guarantee you this, he will change your life forever. So they once lived their own way of living. Now they've found Jesus, and now they're living a new life, serving Jesus. And today is them publicly declaring that Jesus is now Lord of their life. In the Bible, there is the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the New Testament, in the Gospel of Matthew, which is the first book of the Bible, we find a story of Jesus, the Son of God, God's chosen person to save the world. God has chosen Jesus to save the world, to save people from their sins. He comes to the wilderness. He comes to this place where a man called John the Baptist is living. He's working, sorry. And John the Baptist is baptizing people, getting them ready for something that God wants to do in the whole of the nation. Now, this man, John, he's a miracle baby. We've had some miracle babies here in the church. People that shouldn't be able to carry children have carried them. And these children are here today, and God had got a plan for them. But God had got a special plan for this child because his parents were past childbearing age. They could not have children. They'd prayed for a long time for children. They'd waited and waited and asked God for a child. And they'd been waiting for this child and nothing. And it seemed like almost at the very end of their age, of their life, certainly at the end of a ministry for his father who was a priest, God hears their prayer. An angel Gabriel comes and tells the father they're going to have a son. And this miracle baby is conceived. And so this young man, John the Baptist, he is a priest. And as a priest, he stands between man and God, and he intercedes for man, between man and God. And what he's doing is preparing the people for God to do something amazing in the world. And so what happens is he prepares people. He's baptizing them in the wilderness, in the Jordan River, and he's doing that and saying, people, repent, turn from your wicked ways and turn back to God. And the whole nation starts to understand that there is a plan for them. But also John has another special message. He is going to be the one, out of his lips himself, he's going to declare who God's promised person is. He's going to tell the people around, this is the man. So, Matthew chapter 3:13. Then Jesus came to Galilee, to the Jordan, to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and remaining on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Why did Jesus have to be baptized? If he's the Son of God, if he's God's promised one, if he's without sin, why does Jesus have to be baptized by John? Have you ever thought that? Have you ever asked the question, why does he? Why did he? Surely he's perfect. Surely he doesn't need to be baptized. I'm going to give you some reasons why I think today Jesus needed to be baptized. Firstly, what Jesus was going to do is he was going to set an example for every person that put their trust in him, that followed him, to do the same. You see, Jesus isn't somebody that says, you do this, you do that, you do this, you do that. He does ask us to do things. But what Jesus always does is he sets the example for us to follow. And one of the wonderful things I love about Jesus, and many, I could be here all day telling you how wonderful Jesus is, and he is amazing. But he never asks us to do anything he's not willing to do himself. Isn't that wonderful? He doesn't say, you just do that, just do as I say, not as I do, like my dad did. He says, come follow me, watch what I do, then you do it, and then you teach somebody else. So what happens is here is that Jesus is going to set an example for each of us to follow. But he was doing more than that. Jesus was showing the world, and we can learn from it from reading the Bible and the people around us, that he was going to be obedient to his Father in heaven, regardless of the personal cost to himself. What he was saying in effect was, Father, whatever you ask me to do, do you know what? I'll do it. Regardless of what you ask, I will do it. And Jesus shows utter surrender, utter obedience to God the Father. He, in effect, put his own desires down in order to do one thing, and that is to please the Father. He came to please the Father. That's why the Father said from heaven, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. That was Jesus' mission, to save the world, to please the Father, regardless of the personal cost to his life. Now, Jesus knew exactly what lay ahead of him, unlike us. We might not know what's going to happen tomorrow. If we did, we probably would be very worried. But Jesus knew exactly what lay ahead of him. So the Father's plans were his priority in his life. And in the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, the fourth book in the Bible, Jesus says these words in John chapter 6:38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. So Jesus explains to the people around why he's come. He's come from heaven to earth. And why has he come to do that? Because he's come to do what God the Father has asked him to do. So if we look at the life of Jesus, and you study the life of Jesus, and if you want to find out more about Jesus and you read the New Testament, you will find that his life is marked by absolute obedience. As a disciple of Jesus Christ today, those people that follow Jesus are called disciples. We are called to behave like Jesus, to live like Jesus, to love like Jesus, to help other people and introduce other people to Jesus. That's what we do as Christians. We set an example, and hopefully through that we encourage other people to come to know Jesus for themselves. So to follow Jesus means that we are going to be like Jesus and be obedient like Jesus. That means for us in our life, we have to come to a point where we say, I believe Jesus is the answer to my life. I believe Jesus is the person that I'm looking for. And I'm going to surrender my will, my desires, my agenda for what Jesus wants in my life. Does that make sense? That's what Christians do. If we're a Christian and we want to know what a Christian is, it's somebody that surrendered their life to Jesus, and we've chosen from that point on to do what he asks us to do. Many people in this room have done that. So how do we know what Jesus wants us to do? How can we be sure today what Jesus wants us to do? Well, we have this thing called God's Instructions Manual. Now, men don't like to read manuals, do they, Esther? We'll put a wardrobe up, don't worry about the instructions, we know what we're doing, don't we? And then halfway through, I've put that on upside down, I've glued it now. Oh, get the hammer out and fix it. This is God's instruction manual that's been given to us so we can understand who Jesus is and what Jesus wants in our life, how we should live our life. God also gives us something else, which we'll talk about in a minute. But you know, if today you wanted to know more about Jesus, one of the things I'd say to you today is this. We would love to help you. We would love to engage with you. We would love to take the time to share with you how wonderful Jesus is and how he can change your life. So the first thing is that Jesus then sets an example for us. Secondly, the second point is Jesus is... baptism points to something that's going to happen in a very short amount of time. Jesus is doing something very prophetic, and he's going to explain, and people will understand later on after he dies what he was doing when he was being baptized. He was pointing to the time when he would die in a grave. When he would die for the sins of the world, where he would be put on a cruel cross and he would be murdered on a cross for your sins and my sins. And symbolically, as he goes under the water, the Greek word is baptizo, it means full submersion, and we will fully submerge these people, Sean and Jonathan, for a few seconds. Jesus was saying, do you know what? I'm going to die. I know the kind of death I'm having. I know exactly how I'm going to die, the pain, but I'm going to do it because I'm going to surrender to the Father's will. And I'm going to die to any desires I have, even though he would have been fearful of that death. Let me tell you, that death was horrific. It was horrific death because he loved you and me. But he said, as I go down, I'm going to die. But coming up out the water, he gives a message that the Father, who is going to be well pleased with me, and you're going to hear it in a minute, everybody, he's going to raise me from the dead. And as Christians, we don't serve someone that's dead and bones. We serve someone that's alive, because God the Father was so pleased with the Son that he raised him from the dead. So Jesus comes up. It's very prophetic about what's going to happen for him. So for us, when we're being baptized, this is a forever decision. I've made this decision to follow Jesus, and I'm going to do this for the rest of my life until Jesus comes and either takes me home, or until I take my last breath and Jesus meets me in the sky and takes me into heaven. What we're saying is, as we go in the water, we stand in the water and we go under the water, with saying, Lord Jesus, I'm going to die to my old self. I don't want to live the way I used to, but with your help, I want to live differently now. And as you go under the water, you leave those old things behind, and something beautiful and wonderful happens as you come out of the water. Now, I heard this amazing story. I believe it's true. I didn't see it. But there was a guy who was a criminal. He lived a gangster lifestyle. He wasn't a particularly nice person, and he had a tattoo of Satan on his chest. And he used to worship Satan. He was not a nice person. He met Jesus. Jesus' life changed him completely. And they said, do you want to be baptized? He said, no, I don't. He said, why don't you want to be baptized? He says, because when I come up, I have a white shirt on like mine, sporting this nice white shirt. When I come up, people will see the tattoo on my chest. I believe this is a true story. He reluctantly, because he doesn't want to see people, he gets baptized, not because he doesn't want to follow Jesus. He's just ashamed of his old life. Goes down the water, comes up, tattoo disappears. Is that amazing? That's a God thing. And I've seen so many baptized. I've baptized hundreds of people. I haven't seen that yet, but hopefully we'll see something like that. But we're leaving our old life behind. But it also is prophetically pointing to the fact that one day we will die. I'm sorry to tell you, but one in one people die. I've come to church to hear that. That's great. That I'm going to die. That's true. We are. I wish I could say you're not. Unless Jesus returns back today and those people that follow him go to heaven. But it's symbolic that we will die. But as we come up out the water, you know, also symbolic that Jesus will raise us from the dead and give us a new body. Because it says all those that put their trust in Jesus will be saved. And he's promised to give us a hope and a future. And he's promised a home for us in heaven forever for those people that follow him. That's worth following him for. Eternity with God forever. And it is going to be a wonderful, wonderful place. Third point, undeniable signs. God gives two undeniable signs that this is Jesus, his chosen one, and it's his son. Two signs. And there's more. Can you say there's more? With an Irish accent. There's more. God is the God of so much more. So let's look at the first sign, Matthew 3:16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went about out of the water at that moment. Heaven was opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending and alighting on him, or landing on him, or remaining on him. Now, baptisms in those days were pretty common because John the Baptist was baptizing people. But what didn't happen was something from heaven coming down and landing on the person in the form of a dove. And that dove was the Holy Spirit. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit comes down in the form of a dove. And the word in Hebrew is Ruach Kodesh, comes down and lands on Jesus. But it doesn't just land on him. It remains with him forever. So, the people around think, this is strange. And John the Baptist says, I know who the Messiah is because God has told me that when you see a dove alighting on him, that's the man. So then John, who gives testimony, his job is preordained by God to bring testimony. John the Baptist sees the dove and goes to everybody, this is the man. Everybody, this is the one I'm telling you about. He's greater than me. This is the man that God has chosen. I want to say to you, when you give your life to Jesus, not only do you get God's instruction manual, but he gives you his Holy Spirit as well. You get two for one. Isn't that not good? You get, God gives you so much more than you will and I will ever need through either his Holy Spirit and through his written word. He's a very generous God. And the Holy Spirit will enable us to live a Christian life. We won't be perfect. My wife will tell you, she's not perfect. I mean, I'm not perfect. But gives us the Holy Spirit to enable us to live the life. Second sign. What's the second sign? Does anybody know what the second sign is? Dove. What's the second sign? What is it, Bunny? Voice from heaven. A voice from heaven. Can you say it louder?
Voice from heaven.
That was like God's voice, but not so powerful. God verbally declares in the place, This is my son, everybody. This is my promised one, in whom I am well pleased. Two signs from God that actually Jesus is who he says he is. And can I just say to you, if Jesus was a liar and a fraud, do you think God would have said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased"? He wouldn't. It might get a thunderbolt and wham. Don't pretend to be somebody you're not. God, the Father, explains to those listening, "This is the promised one I'm sending you, and he's not just anybody, he's my own son." Do you see how much God loves you? You're in the room today and you might be thinking, "Does God really love me?" He absolutely thinks you're fantastic. Do you know why? Because he sent the best he could from heaven to this earth to die for your sins so that you could be free of your past and you can have a hope and a future. When you leave this earth, you have the most amazing place to live with Jesus. There is always with Jesus what I call the so much more. I've been a Christian for a long time, almost as long as Ruth. And I'm learning so much more about Jesus. I'm finding, well, I didn't know that. Aren't you a pastor? Yeah, I'm a pastor, but I didn't know that. And in our life, there's so much more. And can I tell you what? When you get to eternity with heaven, eternity in heaven with God, there's going to be something you're going to learn every day. If there's days in heaven, who knows? What I want to say to you today, if you do not yet know Jesus in a very personal way, is that he loves you exactly as you are. He's not bothered about your past. He doesn't care about the mistakes you've made in your life. He doesn't care about the things you've done wrong. He doesn't care about the sin of the past. What he cares about is right now. And with his now stretched hands, he says, "Would you come and follow me? Would you come now? Leave your past behind. I love you exactly as you are, to accept you just as you are today. And would you come?" And he wants to embrace you. Now, we can't give people a hug today. We're not supposed to. But I tell you what, Jesus is waiting right now to give you the biggest hug that you have ever experienced, because he accepts you just as you are today and he loves you so much. The question is, will you respond? And in a minute I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond. I won't embarrass you, we won't put the camera on you if you're in the room or at home, but we're going to give you the opportunity to do that. John the Baptist declared, "This is the man, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the earth." The next day, he's with some of his disciples. And once again, he declares this to his disciples, "This is the man." But in the language that they spoke, our Bible isn't very clear on this, but you have to go back to the original language. John says to his disciples, "Behold the Lamb of God," that it has a word in there that says, "Behold the Son of God." And he declares again to his disciples, "Jesus is the Son of God." And these disciples now will follow Jesus. But I read this the other day and went, wow, I didn't realise this. This is so much more. When they address Jesus, they address, in our Bible it says Rabbi, which is teacher. But in the original language, what it goes back to is this: great one. They give him the mark of respect. Great one. They realise he's not just a man, that he's the Son of God. In this so much more, and we've nearly finished now, in this so much more, God does something very special. In the Hebrew calendar, which is different to ours, in the year 4027, Jesus gets baptised. And he gets baptized on a very special day, the first day of the Jewish calendar. God, right from the beginning of that year, is going to do something amazing throughout Jerusalem, throughout Galilee. It's called the first of Aviv, or the first of Nisan. It's when the winter has passed, where things die. Now, I've lost some plants in my garden last year because of the winter, and there's a lot of death in winter. But the first of Av marks the first of day of spring. The start of the barley harvest. I haven't got time to explain that to you now, but it is of ultimate significance of the day, the actual day that he's baptised. He doesn't just walk past and go, Jesus goes, I think I'll do it today. He actually did it on the day that God the Father told him to. Why? Because he was in total obedience to him, surrendered his will. It's the first day of the barley harvest. If you're a Christian, have a study about the barley harvest and the importance of the barley harvest. We'll explain it at some point. I want to say to you, if you do not know the Lord Jesus today, your winter can come to an end. Something in your life might have died. Something might have happened in your life and you think, I'm just looking for an answer. I don't have an answer. Your winter can come to an end because today, springtime can start and you can have a new hope and a future. So we're going to do something now. I'm going to ask everybody in the room, if you would close your eyes for a minute. And if you're at home, I might be talking to you now, and I believe I am. I believe God is giving me this message for you at home too, as well as in the room. I want to say to you, if you want to come out of your winter time, if you want a hope and a future, if you want purpose for living, if you want to... don't want to let your past dictate your future, but let Jesus determine your destiny. If you want to do that today in the room or at home, if you're in the room, would you put your hand up now? There's only me looking. Thank you. That's wonderful. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? I'm not a salesman, but I'll guarantee he will change your life forever. If you're at home now and you're watching online, there is there's an icon that's going to come on the chat. If you're watching on the chat, not on the live stream, and it says, if you want to give your life to Jesus, press that button. If you do, one of the people will connect with you. You press the raise hand and the prayer button, and one of the hosts will connect with you. If you're on live stream and you're on YouTube, you can just email me, robin@oasischristiancentre.org.uk or rachel@oasischristiancentre.org.uk, and you can give your life to Jesus. I'm going to pray for you now. Father, thank you for those that have raised their hands. Lord, I thank you that today they realise that they need you. Lord, you're such an amazing God. You accept us just as way we are. And Lord, we're sorry for those things we've done wrong. But Lord, we want a new start. We want a fresh start. We want springtime to come. We want life. We want life in all its fullness. And so, Lord Jesus, today, we accept you in with gladness in our heart. And we, Lord, rejoice that today is a new day for me. And today I will choose to follow you and serve you. Amen. If you've done that, connect with us somehow and we will help. It will be our honour and our privilege to do that. Thank you so much for responding today. Okay, so now we get to the point of the dunking. I love this part of the service. It's amazing. So we're going to do Sean first. So Sean, if you'd just like to stand here, don't get in the water yet. And Ruth, would you like to come and join me? Richard, you know, make sure he isn't for him. How are we going to do this social distancing, you ask? How indeed, I haven't got a clue, but there we are. Okay. You get me some more gloves, somebody. I think I've got the extra small ones. We're going to do without gloves. Okay, Sean, would you like to carefully get into the water, please? It's warm, yeah. Great. So if you want to come right to the end, that's great. Ruth, thank you.
Sean, it is my joy to be here today. When I first knew you, you didn't know Jesus. And it's been a real privilege and a pleasure to see you grow in him. And I've been praying for you, and this is the scripture that the Lord gave me for you. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 8 and 9, and this is the New Living Translation. He will keep you, Sean, strong to the end, so that you will be free from all blame on the last day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. God will do this for you, Sean, for he is faithful to do what he says, and he has invited you today into partnership with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'm going to pray for you. Lord, I just ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit onto Sean right now as she follows you in obedience through the waters of baptism. Lord, this is her public declaration of her love for you. And as she goes into the water, she is dying to her sins and her past. And she's rising again out of the water into her life with you, Lord Jesus, into her partnership with you. Lord, as I've prayed for Sean, you have shown me that you saw her afar off in the distance and you ran towards her as you drew her to yourself. You fell on her neck, you kissed her, you hugged her, you showed compassion and love for her. You have never let go, Lord. You have been with her all through her life to this point. And as a father loves his children, so you love Sean. And as a father on our earth can give good gifts to his children, so you are going to give more and more gifts and blessings to Sean. Thank you for this day. Thank you that it is just another step along her journey with you. We just invite you, Holy Spirit, to touch her right now as she goes through the water of baptism, and you would protect her through her next steps in her life and walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We would normally do it a different way, but because of social distancing and COVID, we're going to do it this way. Is that okay? Watch on the screen, and when she comes up, give her a big round of applause. Is that okay? When she comes up, okay. Sean, on your confession of faith in Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord, we now baptise you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Hey. Thank you. Fantastic. Sean, if you want to watch, you're welcome to watch if you want. Okay. Jonathan, your turn, young man. Richard, do you want to see if you can help him for me? Okay, don't push him in. Thank you. Okay. You can stand on the edge. That's great. Stephen's going to read. Before he does, can I just tell you that Ruth used to be the shop manager, and Ruth had a conversation, said, we need another person to help us. And we prayed about it, hadn't we? On that day, you met that young lady, and you said, do you want a job? And she went, I'm looking for a job. And it wasn't a coincidence, was it? It was a God incidence. Let me tell you, you might be here today because it's a God incidence. You might think it's all about me. God is planning things out for you. Okay, Jonathan. Steve's going to read.
Jonathan, it's a privilege to be part of your journey with Jesus and to witness your baptism in water as instructed in the Bible. I was asked to come up with a verse for you, and strange enough, I think Alistair mentioned this verse on the chat last Sunday, and it's from Jeremiah chapter 29 from verse 11, and I'm reading from the New International Version. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Just take that in your heart, Jonathan, and just put your trust in God. So we'll pray now for Jonathan. Dear Lord, we thank you for Jonathan taking this step today, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of witnessing this occasion. Lord, we ask you to be with him in his life as he walks with you. Give him strength, show him the way to work, Lord. And Lord, show him your way you want him to live for you. We just ask you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Take your mask off, mate. That's it. Jonathan, on your confession in faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour and Lord, Jonathan, we now baptise you in the name of the Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Well done. So they're going to get changed in the toilets now while we have another worship song. So if you do need to use the facilities, through the door on the left. Is that okay? Great. You look very wet. Okay. Thank you. So we're going to stand together as we have a worship song together.
Just thank you this morning that you are the great I am. You're the great one. You are the only one that we need to have in our lives to make our lives worthwhile. We thank you, God, for your presence here today. We thank you for Jonathan. We thank you for Sean, God. And we pray that you will especially bless them as they move out into this week, having taken this step of obedience. Be with them. We know you are with us, God, all the time. We pray that they will especially know your presence this week. Amen. Amen.